What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Wheel Wednesday Behind the Wheel podcast. I'm Scott. Rich is here.
Man, what's up?
What's going on, Scott? How are you?
Good.
We make it sound like we haven't seen each other for the past 3 hours this morning, but listen, here's the thing. We're going super right into this thing. So yesterday, again, we've talked about this before. So many of our podcast topics come from arguments or discussions that we have around the office. This is no different, and it's very timely to, I think, a lot of internet, anger, animosity, issues. There's so many things wrapped up, and this has to do with that GR86 case that's right. Floating out there on the internet.
So Scott,
well, give him a background, Rich. Give him a little, case you missed this little.
So with the six, they are finding silicone in the oil pickup tube, causing, you know, blockage to the engine, causing seized engine. There was one guy in particular.
Let's back up 1 second.
Yeah,
this seemed to circulate on the internet because I'm telling the story as I read it. I'm not confirming that this is actually what happened, but just telling a story. So what I read is that there's a person that buys a GR86 that obviously has been advertised and marketed as a performance
track ready vehicle
or performance vehicle. We'll call it that way. Okay. Right. And the person does, I guess, an autocross day. At first I heard even that it was an autocross day that was like he was invited to buy
Toyota?
The company. I'm trying not to use too many specifics here, but but anyhow, so he goes out to this thing and suffers a catastrophic engine damage. Now, what's been floating around on the internet since is a situation that happened afterward, which I don't know that it has to do with corporate, but seems like it has more to do with the dealership and possibly the way the dealership or the representative for the dealership handled the situation. Now, what's led to believe to me is that the person then takes their car to the dealership and says, hey, engine's no good. The dealership then researches it and says, you're right, the engine's no good. It's because you tracked it. And the way that they knew he tracked it was by finding information on his social media where he had posted pictures of him autocrossing the car. Now, Jalopnik and I think The Drive and a few other different automotive editorials have picked up this story, and you can read about all of that there. But what's interesting is what happened. I don't want to get into too much into the case,
right?
Although, like we've been seeing, it seems like there's definitely some sort of silicone-y thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what you're starting to see is videos end up on the internet where now they're dropping the oil pan,
mm-hmm.
And they're taking out the pickup tube, and they're finding silicone against the pickup screen. And because of that, you're essentially, if you get enough of it, you're looking at oil starvation due to blockage, that the oil pickup can't pull oil through this barrier of silicone that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I looked at some of these videos and, in a very layman sense, I've put together a few engines in my time, and this looks like dried silicone that would have come from just excess use of silicone in part of the engine, whether it be in the oil pan, when the oil pan was put on, or whatever it may be, where it broke off and then obviously found its way to get sucked into the pickup. But we're not engine builders, and we're also not involved in this situation. So what happens or doesn't happen is going to be pretty Depending on what Toyota finds, or depending on, you know, what the situation is. We're not getting too much into that.
Or how many other people have the same problem, I guess.
Right, yeah. Right. But it brought up an interesting conversation, because originally, as the person that had suffered this original loss that we're talking about, the story got picked up on, as they covered it, it seemed to be that the reason that that Toyota, I don't want to use Toyota because it may not be Toyota. You know, originally the reason that his warranty, whether it be the dealership that decided this, was denied was due to the fact that they found information of him racing on his social media,
which they said voided his warranty.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the question comes down is, can a warranty be determined, a warranty claim be determined solely by using somebody's social media?
Well, it seems like it is, because it's happened.
Now, I will say, in fairness to them, they did, overturn this decision, and this person, I believe, is getting a new engine.
Right.
It's an interesting subject, though, because, you know, there's a bunch of aspects to this, right? And just even thinking it from our perspective, and I think this is where the conversation gravitated towards so quickly yesterday. If you have social media, which is a public entity, right? You have the choice with your social media whether you put things private or not. Mm-hmm. But when you put them public, they're there for anybody to see.
Correct.
So if part of your warranty policy would say, let's say, it may not be used in a race setting, and then somebody brings a product to you and you realize that they're voiding the warranty explicitly based off of the evidence
that you've seen online,
that you've seen on their public social media, can that be grounds for denying a warranty? Very interesting.
I think it can be. I don't, you know, I don't think it's great that that's what they're doing, but if the evidence is there, you know, but
yeah,
is that something they should be doing?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that rhyme or reason. I think, listen, I have my own take on it. My personal take on it is that I think it can be, as long as it is backed up by the fact that that's what necessarily conclusively led to a failure or to an issue with the product, right? Like, I think for us, like, hypothetically, let's say we said, you know, hey, you can't go, you know, void your warranty if you have the car wash your car with our wheels on it, right? And then somebody said, oh, well, I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you went onto their social media and you found a picture of them in the car wash and they're, like, taking a picture like this in front of the car wash. The question would be, could we just say, well, look, here's your picture, here's the proof we need, warranty denied?
I think you could. I don't think it's, you know, very acceptable to do that, but, you know, if it's right in front of you.
So I would offer an opinion. Let me get your thoughts on this.
Of course.
Let's do it two different ways. Feel free to comment in here, by the way. For those of you that are watching on YouTube, feel free to go ahead and put your thoughts down below here. Let's say hypothetically we deny the warranty based off of your social media. We see you are taking a picture in front of the car wash. We see the wheel clear as day. We know that you definitely did. And without even seeing the product, the scenario one, without even seeing the product, we say, I'm sorry, you drove through the car wash, the wheel was on the car, that violates warranty, denied. Scenario two, we get the product back for inspection, and we say, this looks like chemical corrosion. Did you ever use acidic wheel cleaners? Did you ever take it through a car wash? This, that, the other thing. And you say no. And then we hit your social media and we find the picture.
That's tough. On the first one, you know, if he has just a pitcher in front of it, you know, doing one of these or something. I don't know if there's enough because you don't see it actually going through. You know, there could be more to the story. Who knows?
Right.
On the second scenario, you know, if you could look at the product and make a direct correlation between what you see versus what they have online,
right?
Perhaps.
Right.
But I think in this situation with the silicone, I think it's different.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's like you know, regardless of if he did the autocross day or whatever it is, something like that. I mean, there was still silicone there. I mean, where's the correlation on the two things?
Yeah. So what's interesting here is that, and this is where it gets a little complicated. I think this is what it means. So if in this situation, there was some sort of GR86 invite. GR86 owner's invite, mm-hmm, to a NASA event.
Right.
That appears to come from Toyota. You know, the car company. I'm trying not, I really don't want to say, yeah. You know, because there's so many pieces to this, right? And I think that that's super cool. But then the argument here is, then how can you deny that from being part of your warranty? Like, how can you? And so I think this is where the issue is really starting to get complicated.
Right. I mean, I think one issue in particular in this case would be if you look at the previous generation, say a FRS or the older 86.
Yeah.
And now you throw a GR badge in front of it, standing for Gazoo Racing. And then, you know, you bring it to an autocross event for a car that's labeled with racing and say, hey, you can't do that. Void your warranty. And keep in mind, it was a stock vehicle. You know, I think that's, you know, walking a fine line there.
Yeah. You know, the hard part for me is, like, I think about it in a sense that, like, this is where it gets a little weird for me. So let's talk about warranty with wheels for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go out and use wheels in the form of racing, you understand that, like, especially with impact and harsh use, there's a potential that you could have wheel damage or start to work the wheel in a way, because it's a harsh use.
Of course.
Where, you know, it's not like, you know, you apex a thing and bend a wheel, like, that's not a warrantyable thing. That becomes a road hazard regardless if you're on the track or not. And so the same thing kind of goes with engine components.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like if you get forged pistons and rods, and they're assembled correctly, and then you go out there and you're on the track or whatever, there becomes this period of you know there's detonation. It's this, that, that. You know, like, where is the line between defect and not? And that's where I think that this line starts to get a little bit more clear.
Yep.
And so. So focus less about the circumstance and focus more on the defect,
mm-hmm,
right? Defect, and that kind of goes to the scenario two that I brought up about the social media. You can use it to deny, but it really comes down to defect or not. You go onto a track, you take your wheels, you run them super hard, you go off track, curb check quite a bit, and you get a bend in a wheel, regardless of which brand or manufacturer, mm-hmm, and there's no warrantyable piece there. Just not warrantyable. It doesn't matter how many pictures we show you or the company shows you of that same wheel on track.
Mm-hmm.
When you use it in a certain way, it comes down to, did you cause the damage or was it outside the use, you know, the use range of what it should carry? Your warranties are all about defect.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Not about use. It's the reason that you can't buy your, you know, buy your brand new car off the lot, drive it into a wall, take it back and say,
warranty,
hey, this is a warranty claim because all these fenders and parts that broke here, they're defective.
So I guess it comes down to, you know,
where's the defect?
Exactly. How many more people are going to have this arise that haven't done what this guy did?
So that's kind of where I would go back to. I would go back to, if there was no visible, like, if the owner ran the engine dry, maybe he took it out on track and something punctured the oil pan and he leaked the oil out all over the ground.
Then all of a sudden you have a different thing going on. That wouldn't be...
Because, right, now right. It's oil starvation yep. by something that happened to the owner or the owner caused. If you were to take your car out, over rev the engines, shove it into second gear when you meant to go to fourth,
mm-hmm.
or something to that effect, and you over rev the ever living life out of it, and you float valve train, you make contact, you slip a belt, slip a timing chain or a belt or whatever it is. Again, that's not a defect.
Right. It makes it a really rough situation because, say, something like that did happen based on your use.
Right.
And then, then you find out you got a little something going on in there, like silicone. And then you want to say, hey, listen, because of this and this, I'm saying that my issues, are irrelevant because this was already causing a problem.
See, and that's a gray line that I don't care to entertain. And mm-hmm. the reason why, I'll give you a good example. And this is now getting into real practical use.
Yeah.
Is that... I think when it comes down to warranty, again, I'm going to stress on that defect part.
Yeah.
And the reason is because you may have one situation, but when you take something apart and you determine a cause, it now has affected the defect come into play with the cause, right? So let's use that example that you gave. You have mm-hmm. an engine. It is clogged. It's a brand new engine. We're not talking about this yep. engine, we're talking about any engine,
right?
You have an engine, it's very specifically caused. You go out there, you miss a gear, you come back into second from third, mm-hmm. you're at a high RPM, you're at a pretty decent rate of speed, and let's say you just destroy the engine,
mm-hmm.
Over rev it, whatever it is, bends all the valve train, done. You take it to the dealership and when he's taking it apart in front of you, trying to say, hey, this is what happened,
mm-hmm.
you all of a sudden, a bunch of stuff falls out right. of the pickup tube, right?
Yep.
Well, did the engine die from engine starvation?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oil starvation.
Right.
No, it didn't. It was because the valve train bent because you revved it. Sorry, I don't care if there's a massive amount of... Like, that would fall into that issue of its... maybe the dealership in that situation, a dealership in that situation would be like, I can work with this or, but like in its sense, the failure wasn't due to the defect.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
So now let's fast forward and let's say that there's other vehicles out there. Again, we're not using a specific mm-hmm. example. Let's say there's another example out there where other vehicles are suffering the same type of issue.
Issue, yep.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens, because if it really is an oil pickup thing that's happening where the screen's getting clogged due to pieces of silicone that are either in the engine bay from a result of engine assembly, maybe there's just a procedure where too much silicone is being applied to a cam cap or... somewhere in the head, it finds its way down. Maybe it's too much silicone that's applied to the pan rail, and then the pan's put up, and then it breaks off over time
mm-hmm.
and falls into the sump, which allows it to get picked up into the oil pickup. If this is something where, it's affected by a bunch of engines, and is this something for a recall?
If there's enough people having the same issue, I would say yes. Or if they see a consistent that consistently with their new vehicles being produced, I think. But I don't know when manufacturers decide it's time to call for a recall.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
And there's clearly got to be a precedent set. And the question then comes up is that for the people that are just going to use these as street cars, mm-hmm. everyday cars,
yep.
will they run into that issue, or will this be a slow plaguing thing that doesn't hit them until 80,000 miles?
That's a tough one. Well, the question I would have for you is, if you're an owner of one of these cars and say you have a low amount of miles, relatively new, what's your plan of action?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a great question. I think the first thing I would do is I would call the dealership. And I would ask for a service manager, and I would basically explain hey, look, I got this car. And you know, I've read these things and I want to, you know, if you mind, I can forward them to you so you can see what's going on. And my concern is that now a bunch of people have been finding, or the internet shows other people have been finding similar results. I would like to protect my vehicle. Is there any way that my warranty would cover bringing the car into you so that you can inspect this, which would mean dropping the pan, etc.? If their answer to that was no, if you have no issue, we're not going to look at it, then I would say, is there any way that you can at least try to inquire to maybe a corporate or something like that to see if there's any permission that's available to protect this vehicle in any way? If the answer would come back no, I would probably say, well, I want to be able to have notes on this somewhere that I did, you know, whatever it may be. Now, it's also hard because I know the enthusiast in me, especially somebody that has enough experience taking things apart, I would just want to drop the damn exhaust manifold, you know, drop the pan.
Take a look yourself.
Yeah. But now I have one more question in a situation like this, is that I think people are getting the wrong, and this is my opinion, solely my opinion. I think people are getting the wrong thought stuck in their head, because people are super focused on, well, to clear the oil pickup, but it bothers me more that we don't know where the silicone in this particular is coming from. Because what if there's more behind it? Nobody knows where it's coming from. And, you know, like, there's a couple things, you know, when you see a pan, you know, have stuff applied to it and it's put up, like, is there more around the area? Do you have to really drop the pan and really clear off the pan and put it down in a certain way? Is that the pan design that's making it so that, you know, you have to be very specific with how you apply, you know, the silicone to the, you know, to the pan and to the pan rail to be able to, you know, get everything up there. We've seen a few videos like you're probably witnessing on YouTube there. And I mean, look at the amount that's hanging over the edge of the pan, you know, on into the sump side, right? And so that, you know, did it come from there? I mean, look, there's a great piece that's hanging out right there on the lower portion of the screen where you can see that dark gray stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a difficult situation, because I believe that it comes down more to figuring out where all this stuff is coming from to be able to fix it, rather than just going in to clear the oil pickup. Because at the end of the day, how often?
Right. So if you clean it out, If you don't have to go back? Yeah, if you don't know the source of the problem, you're just gonna have to check on again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that'd be more of my concern, I think, at this stage. But, you know, finding out where the internet and the people that own these cars, especially cars that are enthusiast direct, you know, kind of associated with, they'll start to get to the bottom of it pretty quickly, because there's gonna be people that are gonna be just like, we're just gonna tear it down. So it's interesting. According to Jalopnik, a manufacturer representative responded and basically said that any of... Oh, this is interesting. Yeah. I didn't see this before.
I didn't see that either.
I'm really struggling because I don't want to call anybody out. But go to that top line real quick. That top line is really interesting. It says... A blank representative, I don't want to say it. A blank representative responded to Jalopnik and stated that these manufacturer provided NASA events would not void a vehicle's warranty, barring damage that occurred specifically due to track use. Ooh, that's interesting. So... This is interesting. Go back to that line again, if you wouldn't mind. Stated that NASA driving events would not void a warranty vehicle's warranty, barring damage that occurred specifically due to track use. But I mean, so you're allowed. So
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't even want to give my opinion on this.
Well, you said the line gets a lot more clear when you do that, but now it's a lot more blurred.
I don't think it's blurred. I think it's actually very clear.
Yeah.
I think it's so clear that it's, but it's like a it almost becomes a little bit of an oxymoron, the statement.
Right.
In the sense that it's like, you know, what's the most healthiest junk food?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so I don't really want to get into, but like you can go to the event.
Yeah.
Just probably shouldn't race the car, I think.
But if you get damaged due to track use, you won't void your warranty.
Wait, what?
If you get damaged due to track use, it won't void your warranty. That's what.
That's not what it said, is it? Go back to that first line again.
Would not void a vehicle's warranty, bearing.
Barring
damage.
Damage occurred specifically due to track use. Okay. Isn't that saying? It's not the event that would void the warranty. It's just if you use the vehicle at the event.
Okay.
Isn't that what they're saying? Like, barring any damage that occurred specifically due to track use.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the whole event is... it's a track event. Like, I'm not really sure. Let's see. While the vehicle's warranty excludes damage that results from activities such as misuse and racing, simply participating in a NASA HPDE event or similar NASA instructional events provided complimentary to these vehicle owners would not in itself void the warranty. Warranty claims are evaluated on a case-by-case basis. So,
oh, so you're right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what they're saying. I would agree that I think it's a good stance for them to state case-by-case basis. And let me explain, and this is in their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that when you start talking about the ability to use a vehicle on track, going back to the first point that I brought up,
mm-hmm.
It's very specific to every case of use.
Right.
I think it'd be very, like, you know, if this dealership was to take apart an engine and find that this was an oil starvation case based off of the pickup tube being completely blocked and the engine had never been opened before.
Right.
I think that's an extremely thing where you have to say on this case by case basis, this was the failure point.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way that the owner caused that. Now, let's go the other direction. Case by case basis, this vehicle goes to anywhere, track, whatever it may be, and the engine becomes damaged and it's not deemed due to oil starvation, but there is some remnants of silicone on the pickup screen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you can claim warranty on that just because that exists. You know, if it's not oil starvation, there might be a case there where that could happen. So, you know, this is a tough situation. It's a tough situation because, I think it goes back to a defect. It goes back to, where was the cause of damage,
mm-hmm.
and what is the point that caused the failure? I think if it's a defect that's clear as day, that's really hard to be argued with, I think that, you know, there's there. But now, let's go one step further.
Mm-hmm.
What about maybe somebody that possibly is using the car aggressively on the track?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether they put it on their social media or not,
right.
Say it's stolen stock trim. They go there, and in that situation, their engine just gets blown from oil starvation.
Okay.
Now the dealership or a representative takes the engine apart, and there is no silicone on the pickup tube.
Yeah, then that's no good, no warranty.
But now there comes down to a trust issue.
Right.
Is the person that tore down the engine, did they clear the silicone prior? Right, you're going to have somebody that's going to say, no, this is an issue with these, you should cover it.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have a tech that says, I'm sorry, it's not warrantable because your engine starvation came because you didn't have enough oil in the engine.
Mm-hmm.
Or something to that effect.
Yeah, and maybe he just didn't, have this, a correct amount.
This just brings it back a situation where we're talking about the case-by-case basis. Yep. I think that's the only way you can play it. I mean, you can't warranty something that was at fault of the operator.
Mm-hmm.
Or circumstance. And so that's tough. So just quickly running back to the social media point.
Yeah, to bring it back to social media stuff, a question I had was, so if you were to attend one of these events, you're a normal guy, only street driving, no track use. You attend an event as, say, a fan. You have social media posts that you're there, and you had a problem like this. And if the manufacturer decided to look at your social media and see that you attended an event like that, and they were to deem, no warranty claim because of your attendance there, I mean, that would be completely wrong.
In my opinion.
Because there's just not enough.
In my opinion, my personal opinion is that that isn't enough. But let's look at a situation here where this owner, particular owner, did put up their in-car video of them driving.
Yes, completely different.
this becomes different. But I don't think, even for us, I mean, I think it happens every once in a while. I think about we had somebody that sent the message in yesterday about a clear coat issue. Remember that?
Yep.
And when looking at the images, it looked very similar based off of our experience that it was a chemical corrosion type failure, right. Not a
defect.
Right. That's exactly where I was going with that. Mm-hmm. But even with that, we can't deny warranty on,
based off a picture on, that was sent to us.
So our suggestion was maybe to speak to a local dealer or wherever you purchased them from, mm-hmm. to let them visually put their eyes on it and give you their third party opinion.
And if they can confirm whether or not chemical corrosion or something else.
Or if they need to make a phone call into us to basically say, hey, how do I decipher this?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something we would do based off of pictures just because it looks like plenty of other cases we get when this is exactly the same way.
Right.
So I think there's definitely a little grayness to it. I think that there has to be some thought given to what are you going to do going forward if this turns out to be an issue. And I'm positive that some of these companies are already looking at the issue to see what's up. They just, mm-hmm. people just don't, they don't avoid stuff like this. Right. But how will it get handled on the dealership level is interesting. So I don't know, but think about that. I mean, it's a good question. I pose that question to you. If you are out there and you're putting all your pictures up of you, your car use and something that you purchased or the car itself suffers a catastrophic issue and the pictures that you posted directly violate their warranty process,
mm-hmm.
do you think it's fair that somebody could deny that warranty without just by saying, hey, look, this is a warranty policy and we have evidence right here that says that you violated it?
There's no clear answer. I think the case by case thing is really the proper way to go about it.
I agree.
Because there's scenarios where you might get a really obvious answer based off of social media of what may have caused something, and then other times it's just not enough.
Right.
So you got to take it, one at a time, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But it shouldn't be the number one tool to look at when trying to decide whether or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also agree with that. Yeah. I think that you can't use, you cannot just use your, not looking at any of the evidence as a way to deny a warranty claim.
Right.
But that's my opinion. So
it's like having a paper trail of all of your maintenance on the car, mm-hmm. and then them also saying one day, also, let me see your social media with it. Let me get the stuff. They want to see everything that's ever happened with it. It's kind of, it's not like that's ever going to happen. but that's, you know.
Yeah, and so again, I think it becomes down to a defect point. I mean, you know, it's an interesting topic. It's an interesting thought, mm-hmm. but I would imagine that this stuff's going to get more prevalent only because the more you share of your life, the more you put things up there and you put them in a public setting. Yep. You know, once they're in public domain, they're there. So interesting. So I don't know. What do you have to think? Is there anything else about this? I think we've pretty much hit it all.
Yeah.
Super interested to hear what your thoughts are. So if you have any comments on this whole thing, leave them down below. Let us know what you think. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent. Is it about the defect? Is it about the letter of the law? Is it about, you know, can you just say if you, you know, because is it all about use or is it a lot about defect? That's my question, I guess. So let us know. Let's see. This Friday, don't forget, there's a piece of content coming, and it is, I believe, a wheel tech to some point. Mm-hmm. So make sure you check that out. Also, don't forget that we put up a piece of content every Friday. If you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, telling you you're missing out, we have done 5 wheel giveaways so far this year on our YouTube channel. That's where they happen. That's where they go down, and that's where we inform them to you. So make sure that you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. Again, if you're listening on Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartMedia, Google Play, iTunes, you know, all that stuff, make sure that you are subscribed to our YouTube channel, Koenig Wheels USA. And that's it. For those of you that are hanging out with us and you came from the live that we do every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, right before the podcast over on Instagram and Facebook, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And that's it. We will catch you on the next one. Take care of yourself. See you next week.